Father, we do want to be useful to you, our Lord and God. And Jesus, we praise you for what you have done on the cross for us. We praise you that you've taken all our sins in your body on the tree, so that we would die to sin and live for righteousness, live for you, be useful to you. And we pray, Lord, that you would so speak to us this morning that each and every one of us here is moved a step further on to being useful for you, to build your kingdom, and to bring glory to your Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I hope boys and girls are awake this morning. I know it's holiday time, and you probably had a great ride this morning, and you're looking forward to lots and lots of sleep, but I want some volunteers this morning to come and help me. And I want two volunteers to sort of hold up signs. Two new things they can, they're good at holding up signs. Benny, how you come? And sorry, I forgot your name. Lucy? I thought it was Lucy, but I'm right there. Anyway, Ben, do you want to stand behind this table and hold that up nice and high? And Lucy, do you want to stand behind this table and hold this up nice and high? You know what these two words say? One says useful, and the other says not. Okay? So useful and not useful. And I've got some things up here, some sort of household items. Then I want some volunteers to come up and sort of pick something up from this table, and then we can decide whether it's useful, which case we'll be on that side, or not, which case we'll be on that side. Then everyone will come up to the front, and there have got quite a few things here. Yeah, how we come, Robert, how you come, do you want to come and pick something up? Hold it up nice and high, need lots of, probably about, you know, 20 of you. So everyone's going to go. Yeah, come back, just hold that up. So everyone's here. What do people think? How do we think that is useful? Bit of paper. Yeah, useful. We think that's useful. Great. Do you want to put it on there? Somebody else, you should put it on this paper. Paper, we like paper. Paper's great. Yeah. Scribbling on, drawing on. And just, you don't have to hand up. Come on and have a fantastic. Robert, do you want to take something else? Do you want to take something? What do you think about this? Hold that up nice and high. Then we see what that is. It was a ball. What do we think? Useful or not useful? No. Not useful, right? Do you want to put it on that slide? What about this? Hold that nice and high. What do you reckon about that? Well, let's just check, shall we? Should we just check? Should we just switch it on and see if it looks like a very nice torch. I mean, that's a quality, quality torch, but do you want to just try it out? Okay. What do you reckon about this? That's not useful, is it? It doesn't work. So do you want to put on that side? What, anyone like? Lucy? Yeah, useful, okay. What about? Do you want to hold that up? Okay, great, Abby. What do you think about an honesty? Good for some people, yeah? Yeah, no, that's not useful, is it? So hang on. That's right, not useful. No, bananas, I think bananas are great. I think bananas are great. I think bananas are on that side, yeah? What about this? Useful or not useful? No, that's not useful, is it? What about that? Yeah, that's useful, I think. What do you reckon on that one? Useful on pocket. Anybody like hockey?
Definitely.
So it's almost like yeah, okay, so he's more. What about this? Now, this brush is a slightly different brush. Can you hold it up to everyone and see? What use is that? A brush without any bristles. So that's not useful. Broken skewers. Now, that is useful. Yeah, because that torch is useful. Yeah, that will work. So, yeah, we've got to check sometimes. So, useful torch on that slide. What do you reckon? Anyone like?
No, it's useful.
We could fill it with water, yeah? Waste paper. This, what do you reckon? Nice drink?
That's useful, isn't it?
Great. And some skewers, fantastic. Right, brilliant, we've done it. Round of applause, everyone. So you've got all these household things, and some are really useful and fantastic, and you know, we can play hockey with them, or we can put stuff on the barbie, or whatever. And there's lots of other things that aren't so useful. Now, what we're thinking about this morning is what makes us useful to our Master. Okay, we're Christians, we're following the Lord Jesus. What makes us useful to Him? Now, there should be some slides coming up behind me. And we had this break, didn't we? In a large house, in God's house, there's lots of different kinds of people. And some are useful and some are not. And what Timothy, or what Paul is saying to Timothy is, if a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made only useful to the Master. useful to God. So ask yourself the question this morning. Hands up, and I'm going to ask a response right at the beginning. Hands up if you want to be useful to God in His kingdom.
Yeah.
Do you think it is possible not to quarrel with your brother or sister? You just think, how hard is that? That'd be impossible. Yeah, it's so hard, isn't it? And for mums and dads, do you think it's possible never not to quarrel, to be kind and gentle, even to your wonderful young people or children, or even amongst ourselves? We think it's impossible, don't we? We think that's ridiculous. Of course we're going to quarrel. No, says Paul, if we want to be useful to God, in church, at work, at school, in the home, we are not quarrel, but to be quiet and gentle. And we'll only realise how this happens if we realise who it is who's whipping up quarrelling. You see in verse 25 and 26, why quarrelling happens. Those who oppose him, that's the servant of God, the most gently instructed, and I hope that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, the devil loves arguing and quarrelling and strife and... But we don't believe that, do we? We think it's all about me. We think it's all about whether I get that toy, or whether I have enough chocolate, or whether I get to watch the DVD that I want to watch. But actually, it's all about whether we're going to go God's way, or the devil's way. So what are we going to do? If we want to be useful to God, what are we not going to do, boys and girls? What are we going to try really hard in God's strength to do? If we want to be useful to God, what are we not going to do? But it seems like that's not really how God works, isn't it? It is. So don't quarrel, be kind and gentle. And then finally, don't be with the godless. Love God. Don't be with the godless. Love God. Now this is really challenging. I'm going to talk to you in a moment so you might think a bit more how this is fleshed out. But I want you to look at the beginning of chapter 3. Because what Paul is saying is, it's not just trying to be better people, it's trying to be with the right people that counts in the Christian life. It's not just trying to make ourselves better people by not quarrelling and being kind and gentle. We've got to recognise that that means we have choices to who are our friends, who we spend time with at school, who we mix with. This is what he says, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. What does Paul say? Have nothing to do with them. In other words, if we're to be useful to God, we've got to keep godly. We've got to keep having our hearts changed by God's word so that we want to live for Jesus and not live for ourselves. And yet the problem is that many people who call themselves Christians are no different to those who have no Christian faith at all. And what Paul says to Timothy is, have nothing to do with them. Now what does that mean? You know, I don't know, perhaps you're at school and you're there and your friends are quarrelling, or your friends are saying that they're Christians, but they're not really living like Christians. Do we sort of say, well, I'm not having anything to do with you? No. Is that what it means? No. Because that wouldn't be loving, would it? Paul here is talking really about those who are troubling the church, who are living like this. So it might apply to, I don't know, maybe you're a secondary school, and one of your secondary school teachers just mocks Christian things all the time. They call themselves a Christian. Well, I would suggest that you stay away from them. They will harm your faith. And it may be that you're a secondary school and some of your friends would call themselves Christians, but they live no differently to anybody else in the school. Well, I would suggest that this does apply to that situation. If you spend lots of time with them, you kind of get in with the wrong crowd. They call themselves Christians, but they don't live a bit like Christians. So what does it mean, particularly for those of us who are in primary school? Well, it probably means that we choose our friends carefully. It means that you have a choice. If you want to be useful to God, make sure that you're wanting to be best friends with people and spend lots of time with people who also want to be useful to God. That makes sense, doesn't it? It doesn't mean that we don't love other people. But those people who say that they're Christians and don't want to live for Jesus will stop us being useful for God. But we might be thinking, on to the next slide, but I'm one of those people. I'm one of those people that Paul's talking about who's useless, who isn't very useful to God. I've always been disobedient to my parents, and I'm always brutal and ungrateful, and I'm without love, and I find it really hard to forgive, and I'm always gossiping about other people, and I pretty much love myself, really. I don't really love Jesus and want to go his way. Well, what am I to do? Well, that's what I need to hear. Come back and hear who it is who helps us to be useful to God. He was the only one, really, who was useful to God, wasn't he? The Lord Jesus. And there's a couple of verses just coming up, and with this we're going to finish. So you need to be strong in the grace that's in the Lord Jesus. If the Lord Jesus has done everything for us to be strong and useful to God, then we go back to him, don't we? We trust in him. We say, Lord Jesus, I'm not doing what I should be doing. Lord Jesus, would you forgive me? Would you give me your grace? And we need to get into the Bible, because God's word can change our hearts, can change what we're like. See, the great thing about God is he takes what's useless, and of course I can't do this because I'm not God. But he takes what's useless, and because of Jesus' death,
which is someone from City Baptist. So
obviously you drifted away in the teenage years. Tell us about some of the struggles, some of the things that you sort of made into during that time.
So I don't think so much of my teenage years while I was at school. I mean, at school I was introduced to alcohol, but never really learned to sense from the geek. So I kind of really studied hard, played a lot of sports, a lot of music. But actually it wasn't until I went to university that say society's wants drew me away, and so I got involved with drinking, drugs, women. Basically, I was probably one of the world's worst sinners you've ever seen, and I just didn't care. I didn't care who I was dating. I didn't care that my mum and dad were seeing me going through this, and I didn't care that I was making them hurt and they were suffering while I was just being needed, basically. I basically just threw my life down the pan. I didn't care. I just spent all my money, got myself into ridiculous debts, and got involved with people that I shouldn't have got involved with. Ended up being criminal record. So my life went down the pan.
So what pulled you back? How did that happen? How did you come back to follow the Lord Jesus?
So it's kind of happened in two stages, really. Summer of 2003, I bought my first car, and I was working for my old school doing painting and decorating, and I left work to go to the exhaust business, and I was hit about 85 miles an hour in the back of my car. I was in the metro, so you didn't have some metro, so I feel like the competition is going to get hit. And I was doing 60, but this guy hit me so hard that pretty much back in my car was destroyed. If I could get out, I was trapped. The fire had to cut me out of the car, straight to the back door, but actually I only came out with severe whiplash and probably grazed in my thicker shin from the pedals. But my mum and dad, they're like, well, you know, someone's looking out for you, someone's got their eye on you, someone is holding on to you, they're also going to keep something else or something, or whatever, I went back to university, I met some friends, and started going to church. And then in May 2004, I was baptised at Seek Baptist Church after doing a week on Kids Club. And in the second half, I kind of better as I'm a Christian now. And I started doing things that I wanted to do in my own strength, and I fell away quickly actually, because I wasn't reading the Bible, I wasn't praying, I wasn't being with the people I should be being with, I wasn't paying attention to what God was saying to me. And I got involved in a relationship which kind of destroyed me once again. I didn't learn, and it wasn't until, so Lizzie used to work with Pastor Mark Ashworth last year, and he invited me to come along to a big church in England with Beth down in Brighton to play drums. And it was at that, in May 2008, I think. Early May 2008, just so May 2008, I did this event, and I was just like...
Always get that right.
Yeah. May 2008, I did this event, and I was just really kind of struck by the love and grace of the people around me. They were just like, oh yeah, you're sure of this, I know, I know so much about you, thank you so much for coming to do this. I was like, yeah, whatever, I'm getting paid and not, you know. And it wasn't actually until the end of it, and I left, and I got a telephone call saying, can you come to Faith Church? Sunday afternoon, I was like, yeah, right. And it struck me then that I had been throwing my life away, and that I was in a relationship that was ruined, and it was killing my parents and everyone around me. I pushed all my good friends away. And I started going back to church, and that led to a massive downfall in the relationship, and that kind of fell apart very, very quickly, because I did. I gave my life back to the Lord. I was like, I'm not doing this to you anymore, I'm not doing that. It's going to change. And basically, in September 2008, I was thrown out of the house I was living in. I had about £4 or £5 worth of debt. And I was in church, my church was with me, my mum and dad were like, you know what, you know, it's about to be debt. This, that, and the other. And then I met Izzy in October. And actually, ever since, having given my life back to the Lord, God has just richly blessed me. It's been tough, you know, it's been really tough. We've had our struggles since we've been married, but He is so richly blessed just because I've been faithful and given my life back. And it's not easy.
Tell us a bit about the future. You say that you can come back to the home and want to be used by Him. Tell us how you want to be used.
So, I've been really blessed with my musical talent, and I'm really passionate. So, hopefully in September, I'm going to go to Cornwall College to do Bible band, of course. And I'm really passionate about, one, making sure the youth of our society, the gospel, so especially 14 charities, really passionate about my wife and here's the gospel in the States, learn the gospel, and my parents and all of my family. And it's been a real challenge over the last couple of weeks with my best friend being in the hospital and we're going to die. And the thing that struck me the most is that I was never going to see her again in eternity. That she was going to go to the devil and she's going to spend her life now. And it's just, that was really, really difficult to deal with. And she gave her life to Christ last week. But my passion is that through my music, through reading, that the gospel is taught faithfully and that the gospel is heard to all the world in Him.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for encouraging us. It's great to hear how the Lord works in your life. We'll be praying to use you there. So thank you too. We're going to pray now, so I think Lazarus or somebody. Who is praying? Is it? Why don't you come out and lead us in prayer, and we're going to hear from George.